the book, he writes as follows. Ilo yadati sherotzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi, if I knew that Hashem dafka wanted me to live, specifically, hayah davar matil alay ma'amasag yidola b'kvedah, that would have been a very heavy weight for me to know that Hashem had spared me, specifically. Michal, safei kim yiti yechal amod bo, would be very unbearable to know that Hashem had spotlighted me when others had been killed. V'ulam mi'idach, alternatively, kol hom shebo olam lo teini yiti, I would have given all the money in the world that Hashem was protecting me. It's a very ambivalent sense. On one hand, Hashem selects you, then what does that mean? What type of weight does that mean you have to bear? On the other hand, Hashem selects you, then it's a statement you have a relationship with Hashem Baruch Hu. Then he continues, Ani adam pashut v'katan. It's very, very modest, very humble. I'm a simple person. V'ulam kishemitzalti, when I was saved, chashti I felt shetzarech liot likoch kaful mechupal. Now I have to become someone else. Now I have to transform into someone else. The Malay Dandit Mukomam Shal Elo to actualize all the potential of those Shalozacholagir. I'm carrying their hopes, their dreams, their lost potential. I'm carrying them on my shoulders and I have to try to make up for their loss. Zenatami Taumet Lasal Tvarim. They gave me the strength to accomplish Shibidera Chateva that normally Hinam Lemala Miyacholot Eishit. Normally, it would be beyond my accomplishment. Margish ani yishit shekriyat hanavi chagai mivachem hanishari kotz chagai parak beis pasigimo nufneit elai beofen ishi. It's addressing me in a very specific way. Meshach kol hashanim, throughout all these years, toredet oti machshava nora'a, I'm haunted by this thought. Milyonei yudim nehergu bashoa, v'ani nitzalti. Amnam nitzalti that they should speak like Hashem Baruch Hu Botzeini Mashoah. Is that the reason I was saved? Hashemah shat hastarat pinimai. Does not, maybe it was just a time of chaos and the lack of divine providence. Hashem threatens us that your ultimate punishment will be the withdrawal of providence. Uveis hastaras panim. What happens during the time of the absence of providence? Everything is haphazard. Everything is capricious. Everything is arbitrary. So my Savior is not the product of some divine plan, but it's just the whim of arbitrary nonchalance rather than being selected. So he always would struggle with this. And in fact, in one of the most...
Huh?
Okay.
No, I told him it's okay. It's
speaking
English.
I try to understand. Because you don't want to be a marked woman. You never be popular. Okay, just because we're in the middle. Okay?
Okay.
And one of the most formative and tragic parts of the yeshiva was about 3-4 years after the yeshiva started, the Yom Kippur War breaks out. And Talmidim from the yeshiva leave the Beis Medrash to go to the front, knowing they're going to their death. Because the Egyptians and the Syrians had surprised us on two fronts. And the first soldiers who went to battle knew they were going to die just to stall. They'll gather together in the front and they'll launch a cannon. So they knew they were going to their death, and 8 of the yeshiva's talmidim died. The Ramital basically was incapacitated for a year. He gave the keys and was out enough to call the Luchmasin and the Chalat Tafkeid and the Chalat Rosh Hashiva, Tatia Rosh Hashiva, Balach Mikabo the Kever. And it was a very, very formative time for him. That's when he basically became a national figure. Because it wasn't just a personal tragedy for the yeshiva, but it was a national reckoning. Because we had been taken by surprise. It was the first defeat. Until then, everything had been so triumphant and so successful and so supernatural almost. 48 and 67, Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden, reality stares you in the face. Messiness and national religious people had a hard time making sense. Is this Mashiach? What does Mashiach mean? That's really, we went all over the country. People discovered him. And he would give these lectures in town halls and cities, and they're written up. If you want to get a book, it's a little blue book. About 10 essays on the meaning of return to Eretz Yisrael in particular. And he spoke about it. He had to deal with these tragedies of before, these young boys, and these 18 boys your age, and all of a sudden they came back. And remember, we once got together, it sounds like a joke, but the staff of the yeshiva once got together, husbands and wives, and they also got their mom for, I think it was around Michal's 70th birthday. Either his 70th birthday or his 80th birthday. It was like a social evening. It's not like we saw a movie and had loud dancing. They got together, served food, and we all sat around, and everyone was asked to tell their favorite Rav Amital story. It couldn't be a Tartara, but there would be 25 people giving one of the different Tartaras, so like, shoot me now. But everyone had to give their favorite Rav Amital story. So everyone told their cute little story. And then Tova Lichtenstein said that her favorite story was Purim right after Yom Kippur. Because if you remember, the boys had left on Yom Kippur, and the war ended 3-4 weeks after it began. But wars never end 3-4 weeks after they begin. The fighting stops, the armistice, but the soldiers are still there at the front, prisoners of war. Wars don't end. Wars take a while to conclude. And this one especially, because there's a lot of prisoners involved. It's a very difficult process. Essentially, the boys had left the yeshiva on Yom Kippur, and now were first back in yeshiva apartment. It took them 7 months to get back to the yeshiva. That was their first release. And all the boys were sitting b'chadar ochel shel yeshiva, zeh Purim, v'echad lo haya mesugal l'rkov, l'smoach, l'lachgog, zeh Purim, v'pam ha'shana chadvat ha'shani, v'kamuvan yesh shmona shenedarim, yesh shmona tamidim shelo hagiyu chazara, yesh hamon tamidim alayhim beit cholin, zeh ma'od ma'od surreal. And everyone didn't know what to do. And Rav Amital came into the room, and he started singing a Purim song with them, Shoshan v'Yaakov, v'ra'at ha'mon ha'avat ha'shira, v'chazan nehedar, וגם עמד אותנו, כל מיני שירים מאירופה, מהשטטו, אז הוא שר איזו שירה, מנגינה, שעוברת משושנת יעקב, ששרים בפורים, שיר, melodic sequencing, one into another, into another, and the end point goes back to Kondagrin. And it was a song we used to sing in Europe to connect Purim and Yom Kippur. They would start singing merrily with their beer, with Purim, and then get back to Yom Kippur. And Rav Amital finally got back to Pondigre, and Kova said that there was not a dry eye in the house. Basically, the entire room was crying, because Rav Amital took the boys back to the Pondigre, which was the last time that they had been with their friends and with them. So this was a difficult time with them, and a lot of people came back from that war with similar feelings. A shell hit the tank, why did he die? And he got burned, and I was thrown out of the tank and spared. And that experience that he had undergone 30, 40 years earlier, similarly having been spared, I read you something he wrote. I need not tell Ozla, that's me. I'm taking the strength and the courage. I'm putting one of the talit, it's not mine. Basically, I'm saying something I shouldn't be saying, but I'll say it anyway. I'm speaking about the suffering of our soldiers. This is 1973, 1974. The front. שחזרו מן החזית, השאלה המטרידה אותם והגוזלת את בנוחתם, staying with their question and response to them, and steals their tranquility, makes them disquiet, מציקה להם ללא הרף עד שהיא הופכת למציקה נפשית גדולה, becomes an inner struggle. למה שבנו אנחנו והם לא שבנו, הם לא שבו. אתם, אותם פגזים, these mortar shells, למה עקפו אותנו, why did they miss us, ופגעו בהם. Chaverim Yikarim, this is Rav Amital telling him, he's a very courageous person. He said something, he felt drawn to accept what he said. If he said it, strength, tremendous emuna, listen to him, I can hear him speaking. Chaverim Yikarim, Lashav kol achipusim achare tshuvot. It's pointless to try to find answers. Lashav achipusim achare tshuvot. Scream it out and that's it. That'll be the end of the conversation. He felt so more like it felt. Don't start asking those questions, you don't know, you can't know. I ask myself those questions, I'll never know. This is not a story that you tell too many people, because I hardly hear. Mod nadir shani shumei achrim sefer et ha-sipurazim. Avani humo sipur et ha-sipurazim, sipur madim. He was deliberating whether to take the reins of the yeshiva, b'shivim shivim masheva, v'hu chazar mitel aviv l'yushalayim v'ezu shuriyom, v'hu shama baradio, heard in the news, b'chadosh ta'ot, that in New York City there was a big fire, Paratz Esh, b'nyan v'hoi tshakim, at some skyscraper, and of course it's before it's done, but a lot of them, so when I say fire and skyscrapers, you have images that are very clearly etched into your minds, but this was a fire in a tall building. How many buildings are there in New York City? Hundreds. They're a five tall building. And children were stuck on the whatever floor. And underneath, the parents had all assembled with the mattresses and the balloons, the balloon, and the mizlami, and the kabayim higiyo. And they'd say, jump. And the children were too afraid to jump. So they became incinerated and they all died because they were all captured by the smoke and the fire. And he saw that as a metaphor that the older generation is a message for the younger generation that could save their lives. But the younger generation refuses to listen. It's hard sometimes because of the cultural and generational gap for one generation to communicate to. Talk about generation caps. If you experience it, my children have it. I don't know if it's worth it. Many children live. If you're a different world. In other words, I gave a share. And I was talking about Ruben. But I thought, what was that? I'm getting live updates about these. So I was giving shir Shabbos morning, and I was talking about Reuven and guilt complex and how he's not able to deal with his guilt. We're having some long shir. I'm bored right now. And I said that, and Reuven is the firstborn, and those of us in the audience who are firstborns, we know what it is to carry guilt. So all of a sudden, the entire shul was sleeping at Shabbos morning. What do you do with the shir Shabbos morning? All of a sudden, I said, if you're firstborn, you're mazal l'seit tashma. All of a sudden, 50 heads shoot up. Kilo, I see the activation. They felt the sleeper cells. And then they all lined up after the Torah to share their horror stories as firstborns. But one horror story, I've heard a lot of horror stories that I could share my own horror stories before. She's Rabbi Tarigan. I was a Holocaust survivor, and I was the first or only child of my parents. My parents are Holocaust survivors. I was the first and only child. And she said, you know what my parents would tell me every time they got upset with me? Get ready. This is really cruel. Just to show how hard it was to grow up in this household. It's going to shock you. Your eyes are going to pop out of your sockets. You ready? She would say, when I did something bad, my mom would tell me, this woman who is now 65, I survived Hitler for you?
Oh my God.
That's why I survived Hitler for you. That's pretty bad, right? Okay, these were broken. I knew my grandparents. My grandparents were broken people. Parents are not broken like that. They lived great lives. And Holocaust didn't just take the lives of those who were killed. It took the lives of people who survived. And imagine growing up without, I didn't have any uncles or aunts. It was a different world. You grew up in a small little place, just you and your family. Anyway, and to me, one of Rav Amital's master strokes was turning that shame and guilt into mission. So anyway, that story goes. He realized that the generation children just didn't want to listen to the older generation, literally and figuratively. So he gets home to Givat Mordechai, which is where he lived, Shkunat Givat Mordechai, and then he saw there was a fire, really, in a building in Givat Mordechai, Parat Zesh. And he gets out of his car, and he sees an old woman stuck behind the fire, and he quickly breaks the glass or opens the door and helps her out. So literally, he felt that this was a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he did have the language that the people in New York didn't have. That the area in which these parents tragically had failed to rescue their children, to communicate to them the danger of the fire, and to get them to safety, he had that capacity. And Hashem was showing him this was the time. Because he had a lot of, he didn't see himself the way we see him. He never saw himself as this towering giant who changed the world. He saw himself as unique Pashat. And that's what made him such a great appeal. When you're going to give out Mordechai, they loved him, but they adored him as like the nicest balabas in the community. He wasn't the rabbi of the community. He didn't have an official title. He just saw him hang out with all the old men in shul. And they all knew who he was, and they all knew how, but that was his appeal because he carried himself with such simplicity. He picked up the phone, not so much to me, because I was already, let's say, the second generation, but to the early generation, he picked up the phone and literally say, hello, Zahamita. That was his way of talking the phone. Hello, Zahamita. Chaim Sabata was the Rosh Hashiva of Shem Malei Adurish. Sipurim manyanim, mamash manyanim, but Mishraim Tanat Kesher, not the telephone. And it's that sense of the mission, which really talk about name changes, Parshas Lech Lecha, where Avram changes his name, and thereby מקבל עוד משימה ועוד יעד ועוד תפקיד מאברהם לאברהם. רבי טל's name was Klein. He spent the Holocaust as Yehuda Klein. And then he comes out of the Holocaust and make some order here. He comes out of the Holocaust and he changes his name to, if you take a look at, even included if you just easy to sense of that, Source 11. Vayasherit Yaakov, the care of Amim Rabin. Sherit Yaakov means the remainder. Sherit Yaakov, Sherit Yaakov. Look at the Radak on this Pasuk in Micha. Vayasherit, what does it mean, the remainder? Otam Shiyisharu Achar Shiyitzrufu. Those who will remain after, anyone know in English, what is Shiyitzrufu? Talichat Seuf. Purification process. How do you purify something? Fire. Otam Shiyisharu, you clean out the impediments, the, you clean out the imperfections, the... Okay, then we're going to have to listen to him. Let's walk out. Let's share it. Hashem Shini Shari, Lo B'Gol Shem Nechurim. Like, let's say I finish the share, you'll be the last to leave share, you'll be the share. Not because you happen to be the last to leave the room, but you're the other one that survives. You're the share. Yitzi Yaakov, Bekir Lamin Rabim, Kital Meit Hashem. They will be like dew from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kir Vivim Malay Esef, the rain on the grass, Asher Lei Kabelish, they won't need anyone, V'Lei Echelet Ne'adam, they'll have the independence and the autonomy they sought for so often, and they'll actually help others, they'll be like the Tal of Hashem. So he saw himself as Sherit Yaakov, so he calls himself Amital. My nation is Tal. The Sherit Yaakov will be Tal, so he changes his name from Yehuda Klein to Amital, and this is before he takes his great decision to become the Rosh Hashiva of where we're sitting right now to change history. But even before any of that sense that there's a new, there's a different beginning, and he has to find some mission. And then in 67, basically there's a sense led primarily by the orphans. Yitomim. Did you guys see the movie with the Seret Bekvarzion? You didn't see the Seret?
Yeah.
In the museum?
No, I heard it's
really
good.
Okay,
it's really
good. No, I didn't say that. Thing. She made the Seret like Damri, the Seret Chadash, and Mamash.
I heard they redid it.
Yeah, I'm going to speak to Rachel. Who makes the decisions these days? Okay, so I'll speak to Rachel. You got to go to that.
No, well, they took some girls right here. Right. They got some girls that were here.
Yeah, really well. So she took people. So they come back, and it's they actually came back a few months after the Six-Day War. So there's this top group of Talmidim who are in the Tiv Meir, which is the top Yeshivat Tichonit Datil Lomeh, the Bishulayim. And where do the top boys go? Every year to Merkaz, to Yeshivat Rav Kook, to Merkaz Rav Kook, to Yeshivat Merkaz Kishamrim. And the top Talmud that year is Yoel Ben Nun, and all of a sudden they hear about this Rav Amital and this movement to try to build Yeshiva in the Gosh. And the leader, I think he was not Talmud then, I think he was a little bit older, but the leader of this whole emissary is someone you may have heard of, Hanan Parat. Hanan Parat is one of, he was probably one of the leading figures of the Dati Lumi world, beginning from 1967, not in terms of politician, because the politician in the 80s and 90s, he passed away about 5 years ago. Living far at Zion, big army hero, big settler, all the famous pictures of the early settlements in Sebastia and all these places up north in Bethel, around people's shoulders. Do a Google on Hanan Parat, and you'll see. And he was one of these mythical figures, Do a Google on Hanan Parat, and the lawyer Ashur Gamakach Hamad Moshech Fizi is very handsome. So it was, when he was young, and Oya Adamshe Talmud Chacham Adir, Tanach Ish Tanach, we made by Yeshiva. Oya Movil. So Kalatin Ozat. So he's sitting in Rav Amital's room in Gerach Mordechai, asking Rav Amital to be their Rosh Yeshiva. And Rav Amital saying, Ani Yedi Pashod, Ba'alam Adi, Ba'alam Adi, that same sense, why am I to do it? And then at some point, I think Hanan Parat quotes his medrash to him, or Rav Amital remembers his medrash, and that flips the switch. And Rav Amital says, I'm going to do it. I think Hanan Parat like told him this medrash. What's the medrash? Source number 16. Mihikdimeni Vasharim. Mihikdimani. Who comes before me, Hashem says, I'll pay him back. Same statement, Mihikdimani Vasharim. Rabbi Tanchuma Pasar Krai, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, We're talking about someone that's living, Ravak, a man who's living in the country. And he pays for people to teach other Torah. You've preempted me. It's my job to teach Torah. Shem says, you've done it for me. You've done my work. So I'll pay it back for you. So what's the take here? It's a beautiful midrash. Let's go to midrash. Line number 3, source 16. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Atida bat kol liot mefutzetzet b'rashay harim. Perfect. Rishon Tzion, already you're done. A bat kol is going to thunder throughout the mountains. And what's it going to say? Mi pa'al imel, who worked with Hashem? Kol mi shapa'al imel, whoever worked with Hashem, yavo v'yitol scharahu. Come and get your schar. Harayu v'yamar ka'eit yomer li'akov v'li'Yisrael, ma pa'al el. There's a combination of that pasuk in Parshat Balak. Ka'eit yomer li'akov v'li'Yisrael. Ma pa'al el, you work with Hashem, mi hikdimani v'ashele. You came before me. You preempted me. You got there ahead of me. You took care of my business for me. Somehow that medrash at this historical meeting between Hanan Parat and Ramital, Meshachneh and Ramital, Lekachat et Hatafiyazah, make more on the future, Yishaneh at Historia. It all changes here. I'm trying to make sure I'm giving you all these ideas I wanted to share with you. The introduction, maybe just one, probably if you're interested, there's actually a book written by someone, one of the teachers, he used to teach in Kibbutz Adati, up in Malay Gilboa, Mokomot Techarim, Moshe Maya. The Talmid Shal Yeshiva, who was at the doctorate shelo, he did his doctoral thesis on Rav Amital's response to the Holocaust. And the name of the book is named after this medrash, and I'm not going to go into that issue. When Yom HaShoah comes, we'll talk about Rav Amital's treatment of the Holocaust, maybe I'll say that today. But the name of the book is based on the following medrash, which is a beautiful medrash standalone, and it's something that Rav Amital would quote us very often. So look at source number 7. Eila toldo Noach, hence Noach lachotam v'era. Eila toldo Noach, et elokim talech Noach. Why does the word Noach appear 3 times? Eila toldo Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamiyah v'dor tav, et elokim talech Noach. Source number 17, Shmasa. Lama mila, lama shen Noach mofia, shalosh bomim b'retzef. Eila toldo Noach, Noach ish tzadik, et elokim talech Noach. Ze'achad mishlosha, Shiro Gimel Olamot. There are 3 people who saw 3 worlds. Noach, Daniel, and Iov. What did they see? Beautiful members. Noach ra'a olam b'yishuvo. V'ra'el b'chorbano. V'chazar v'ra'el b'yishuvo. Noach saw a world. Settled, civilized, growing, advancing, prospering. He then saw that world destroyed, dismantled. And then he saw the world reborn. So Noach saw the physical world plunge into a state of cataclysm and become reborn. Iov saw his personal world. He's a prosperous, wealthy, leading figure. Ishmovio. The Ha'olam Shalom Kavas, Neras. Who Zachah, Lifna Bechadash, Ha'olam Shalom. The self-safer Iov, Kishu, Nichna, Lekarish Baruch Hu, Ha'az Ha'olam Shalom, Nechna Bechadash, Nechabal Kalosha, Shayalov, Nikedim. Now, Shoshi is a Daniel. Daniel Ra'atza, he saw it not through the personal lens of Iov or through the cosmological lens of Noach, but through the national lens. Daniel saw Am Yisrael, the Yeshua, who ra'a Am Yisrael b'chor b'nau, Abu Daniel zachal ra'at the Tagula, achrei 70 shana. Now, talk about a medrash to describe Rav Amital, or anyone else that lived through that period and was instrumentally the Tchiyah Nechadash. Ramatel grows up in this world that's prosperous, that's beautiful, that's deep, that's Torah, that's Am Yisrael, it's a thriving world. He sees that entire world collapse. And then he comes and, as he would tell us, fighting the Independence War, fighting the Six-Day War, march to the Suez Canal, become a minister in the government. They say, Dar Kapokote. And one of the things he gave us is, to a degree, and one of the boys came over to me and said, Trump won, Trump won. So most people's response were, yeah, it's not obligation line, but I guess response to your history is much larger than one person. It's not that I'm scared of him, but I'm not scared. Is that people don't shape history, history is cycles. The Ramatel would never get all caught up in all these big, scary events that would happen. History is a cycle, and moral energy is what shapes history. This isn't me talking about him, but it was something that I got from him. And as I told the boy last night, the boy's your age. I said, your life, if led correctly, will be more historical and of greater impact than anything Donald Trump does. Because in 300 years, no one will know who he was, no care who he was. And if you don't think I'm correct, can you tell me who was the king of Prussia in 1620 or something? They come and they go, they make an impact, they shape people's day-to-day stupidity, they grab headlines. But you're involved in eternity. You're building Jewish people, it's going to shape history, it's going to usher in a shift, it's going to build the days of Israel, it's going to usher in an era of 1,000 years, and then Olam Haba. So he may have a lot of headlines right now. It's that sense of I don't know if having lived. I've seen that before. I've lived that before. Katan alai. You know how many times he faced death? I come up on him who amag b'fnei amavet v'nashim erimu nevdoak dachim v'yaruba. Okay, so I'm not sure that kach hazaka, and he was not afraid of anyone. And it's this type of sense that I'm here for a mission. Moshe zitet lano calls man dor tapuchotim. אנחנו חיים בדור שכל הזמן מתהפך ומתגלגל ועובר לדברים חדשים. אז this is the sense of mission that we felt very powerfully with him. We should must have run it. I just want to check where we're up to in the funeral.
He has an article where he says that, like,
Olam Banu Olam Hale Olam Hale. No, that's the book.
But I think I saw it in an article. My father gave me an article of Olam Hale
Olam Hale.
If you like
it. Okay, very good. Said that in the statement, but that's the name of Moshe Mai's book about Rabbi Tal and the Holocaust. And whenever you say that phrase, everyone knows it's Rabbi Tal's book about the Holocaust. It's not a simple book to read. You have to give it real time, like to sit there. It's not written in a way that you just read it in 30, 40 pages. It's like a real work. It's a thesis, like a doctorate. It's written in a very dense fashion. Anyway, let me just share with you some of these ideas that he expressed to us during Parshas Noach, during Parshas Lech during Parshas Vayera. Instead of just telling you in general that we see this tremendous sense of mission, what are some of the things that we heard? What are some of the things that we experienced? So, he talked to us about Avram's departure from Harak, from Augustine. Very funny line, which really conveyed something else to us, equally important. I won't say equally important, but pretty important, unrelated to this. Inevitably, during Parshas Bereishis, during Parshas Noah, there'd be some smarty pants bush guy, Echad Mechachamim Shalashim Babez Atish. Shesha'al Tervamital, Eza She'la B'riyat Olam, how did this happen, and the dinosaurs, and evolution, and what does it mean during the flood, and Tervamital would always say, Ani Adi Pashut, Ani Lo Mivin Big Bang, Small Bang, Ani Lo Mivin Etan Abdel, Ani Matchil L'Kroat HaTorah, Mi Parshat Lech Lecha, Ani Lo Matchil B'Rishin Doach, Ani Adi Hashum Dabar Pashat Groach B'Rishin, Ani Adi Dabar Achad, Kadosh Baruch Hu Korah L'Avraham, Amar Bo L'Tzeh B'Charan, Lagia L'Eretz Yisrael, I start reading the Parshat Lech Lecha. What he was doing was he was giving us this security not to have to know the answers to all the questions. It's a very important message in life that life's about questions. You don't have to answer to all the questions. And if you go down that route, you'll end up in a very, very distant space if you feel there are answers to all questions. And certainly when you read Bereishit and Noach, you walk away with a sense that Hashem isn't interested in providing details. Whatever it is, Ein Sham Pratim, Ein Derech Lo B'Makar Hashem Amen. It's Kvod Shemayim, Lestir Tzev, Lo Legalok, Lo Lefaneach, and I was thinking today, I can't remember. I shan't be by my list, Chalam be by my list, I was thinking about how silly, I was thinking about some matters which clearly tells us that the world isn't based on survival of the fittest and evolution, whatever, it's a lost thought, but of course, evolution is a powerful force within creation, instead of the link to creation. But Kitzur, so if you take a look at the Pesukim, there's a bit of a contradiction. It's kind of set stila. Mitzad echad, b'sel parshat Noach, kakarov shemi hovil et pelam alach laaretz, hu ledem, terach. Leikach terach is Avram b'no, v'slor ben Aram ben b'no, v'etzarai kalato, v'eshet Avram b'no, v'yitzri yitam yor kastim, v'lach ra'at zekanan, v'yavol ad charon v'yesh v'sham. So Terach, La Mishpacha, Magiyim Acharan, they were Kastim, that's their first stop. And then in Haran, for some reason, Terach met, Oshiken, Oshalav, who met, is during the Rashi, who Ne'atzar, V'Charan, V'Avraham, Mamshich, Me'Charan, Ad Eretz Kina. Well, Avraham, Lo Yolzeh, he doesn't initiate the move from Or Kastim. But we say every day, Pasuk 4, Nechem, Yatel Hashem, Elokim, Hashem, Acharta, B'Avraham, we had Seita Mirakasti. Santo Shema Avraham. Never thought about it. Vayomer, Ani Hashem, also a Pasoka. In this week's parsha, Sher Tzeticha, Mi'ur Kastim. Atev Lechat Arz Azot, Mirishta. So the Eben Ezra has one that's one answer, it's one solution. And Ezra basically says that the command to leave Or Kasdim was not directed at Avram, or Avram was directed at Terach. Oh, not at Terach and Avram. Terach just accompanies him with Laveli Avram, the Kolach and Yedeshri at Seir Becharan. Avogama Nesia Rishonit, me Or Kasdim Becharan, he Nesia Mufneg Le Avram, now calls Avram, Apasek Rachmetai Lechabed Terach, Ki Terach and Daniel Bechayim. Let's see the Ebenezer source, number five. Lech Lecha, what?
So what, Lama? זה שכאילו שטרח יצא מאור כסדים לזה, מופיע לפני הציווי.
נכון, נכון, זה הכושה של רמב"ן, אני לא יודע את זה. לך לך השם ציווה לאברהם סורס 5, מספר 5, ועודנו באור כסדים, זה אברהם סטורן באור כסדים, שיעזוב ארצו מקום מולדתו גם בית אביו. והטעם שידע השם שטרח אחר שיצא ללכת אל הארץ הכנען, יש לי בחור, נו, סטיין חור. וטרח לא מת, עד אחר ששנה יסדיץ לי for 60 years when Avram leaves, רק הכתוב לא פירש שנה בסיתו מי הכסדים. לאחר שמה לך שלא הרד, then he tells him, so basically he's talking to Avram, Hashem already tells him in Or Kasdim, I want you to leave from Or Kasdim, come on to Facebook, come on to the plane, attack, go from Or Kasdim all the way to Eretz Kenan, you know, leaving Or Kasdim, arriving in Eretz Kenan, and it's all Avram. Kishama, Ramban, Lao, Lomikabel, source number six, Einin and Nechom, Kimi Akein, then Avraham would have been the prime mover. Basically, Avraham's moving from Or Kasdim. The Terach Aviv, or it's not so. Terach is just hanging along. He's just joining on his own. He's not part of his mission. Yorah, source number 6, line 3. So, sounds like that Avraham would have failed Terach. Yikach Terach, Yishamar. קורץ הפסק עם יהושע, וקחת אביכם את אברהם מעבר הנער, ולך אותו בכל ארץ כנען. פסק עם יהושע, sounds like השם takes תרח, לפי מה שאבן עשר טוען, השם לא לוקח תרח, הוא לוקח את אברהם בדרך כלל לבב. יהושע אומר, ופסק עם יהושע של אבן, וקחת אביכם את אברהם מעבר חסדין, כי משם לא לוקח משם מצווה. אז יש כאן קצת בלגן. אל אברהם נוסע מאור כסדין כחלק מהמשימה הגדולה שבחרת באברהם צאתי בערך הזה, וסיימת שם אברהם פסוק לנחמיה, זה לא רק גוגל מאפס, זה ווייס. זה פסוק שבחרת באברהם ויוצאת מאור כסדין, שהבחירה הוא חלק מיוצא מאור כסדין, שהבחירה מתקיימת, זה פסוק חזק, שבחרת באברהם ויוצאת מאור כסדין, אז הבחירה והיציאה מאור כסדין הם חלק. So Ramital wanted to say, זה כל כך אופייני, I'm saying this, I'm laughing for myself, זה כל כך אופייני לרמיטל, that sometimes, in general, and particularly as it pertains to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem chooses you and gets you to Israel without you knowing that you're part of the church. Shata lo yodea, shata chelek mimashu istori, the derech l'Eretz Yisrael. When Avram is walking from Or Kasdim to Haran, it's part of his journey, but he doesn't know yet. He thinks he's just walking with Terach. From his mind, Vayikach Terach. Terach Yosem, Avram back with Sarah Philip. Then once he gets to Haran, then he knows already, Shuchelik Me'atalich. But on the way from Or Kasdim to Haran, that's still part of the Bechira. Shebacharta B'Avram Etzayt Amir Kasdim, Avol Avram Lo Yodeh. There's a Chelik Me'atchira. And when we, it's part of, sometimes we're part of a larger process that we're not aware of. And as you grow older, in general, but you'll see this with Israel, you realize that there's this relationship you have specifically with this land. And sometimes you do things and you make decisions and you get to places and you're not even aware of it. Then you look back and say, oh, that was my bechira, that was my choice. I was choosing me to be part of this land, to be part of Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Amitai would quote us a beautiful Rashi in Vayeshev. Take a look in source number 10. Ela told us Yaakov. Just going to ask for Ela told us Yaakov. Ela toldot Yaakov, source number 10. Ela shall toldot Yaakov. Ela yishuvehem v'gilgulehem, where they lived and everything that happened to them and all their changes and vicissitudes and hard work. All their ma'barim, gilgulehem, ad shebao l'chlal yishuv, until they came to Israel. Namely, it was a long process for Yaakov and his family returned to Israel, 20 plus years. Had a lot of winding roads, Lavans and Rachels and Leahs and children and angels and sheep and fights. And they didn't always know they were on their way to Eretz Yisrael, but they finally made it. Eilu Toldot Yaakov, Parshat Vayeshev, he's in Eretz Yisrael. That same phenomena happens to Avram, that he's part of a choice to move to Israel, but he doesn't know that it's happening to him until he gets to Haran. Not only does he not know where he's going, but the choice is a choice that's autonomous of any prior achievements or of any subsequent performances, metrics. What do I mean? Very, very famous kasha. Lama ha Torah lama saperat lano al kol hareka shel Ephraim. Very dramatic. Shavarat atzlonim, he broke the idols. Amad neged aviv. Hupal likishon ha'esh. We should read about this. We should know who this hero is. And yet, he just emerges on the scene. Lech lecha, mi'artzecha, mi'uladcha, mi'savicha, el artz asher ha'ekha. What does that mean? Let me open the window a little bit. So, there are many answers to this question. Interestingly enough, very famous, anyone on Mishi or God that taught Shuba Shavar Rabban? It doesn't tell us that. But in the case of Moshe, Ramban says, we see in the end that the Chartumim were defeated. So we hear about the Avodah Zarah because we know they're defeated. But we're not going to hear about what happens to the Avodah Zarah of Amraphel because they're not defeated in the same public fashion. And the Torah's point is to deliver monotheism, not to discuss paganism. So we're not interested. And the best way to show we're not interested is not to talk about it. Because when I talk about it, it's not to mention it. So it's a very interesting Ramban. But Rav Amital told us in Maharal, and he also would tell us something which in my mind was always in the name of the Maharal, but I realized it wasn't in the Maharal, but he would tell us this anyway. It's like Virtuous Svat Emet. It says it because he would always quote. Rav Amital would always tell us, actually, He told me, I forget whether he said this in public, that before we would speak Friday night, we would read the Svat Emet. Not because I needed something to think about or to say, but I wanted to be put into the spirit. I just would read the Svat Emet to find that spirit, to find that muse, and then I would. It's interesting, there are things that you read in life that you don't read the content, you read for spirit. Find those things. There are books that I'll read for spirit. There's music that I'll listen to. If I know I want to put myself into the spirit, I'll find this song. And it really creates, I'm old enough that I know it creates this emotion, it creates this spirit, it creates this imagination. So how do you create spirit in yourself? Who are you to Svat Emet? Put yourself into that spirit. So the Svat Emet says, basically, and I'll translate it and then I'll read it with you. There's no question that Avram was chosen because of his heroics and his achievements. Such an important point. But that's not the story the Torah wants you to read. Torah wants you to read the story of every man, Jochalafan. That a person hears a challenge from Hashem, and he has no background, he doesn't deserve that challenge, not like he's such a great person. Because if we read about Avram and all of his accomplishments, then when you have a challenge, or I have a challenge, what would we say? I'm not Avram. I don't have all those accomplishments. I need Pator. I need Poter, that's me. I need Mislaki, that's me. The story the Torah wants us to hear, and you've got Banglita, Sipur Shal Avram, Sipur Shal Jochalafan. Shesipuan Omimi, Sipur Gineri, Jochalafan. A little too dramatic. Okay, since I'm personalizing it, I remember 1993, so that was my year. 1993, I'd just been fresh out of Smicha. Siyamti kvar tafkidim ha-ktanim shel assistant there, an assistant there, the tutoring, the Yehudi shel Seva, and now I had offers, hatsa'ot, hatsa'ot, amurit, bon agid, mashmantiyot. I'm looking around thinking, whose rabbi would have been, like, based on where you live? Like, what if I would have been your rabbi, put you. Like, basically, dream jobs. Two dream jobs, dream apartment, you know, right near Trump's neighborhood. Put it this way. Set for life, educationally, really great opportunities to teach, and I wouldn't have to worry a day in my life financially. Here I was coming to Israel to learn the Gishkolo, like a little spaghetti, like nothing. And it was hard. And on top of that, we had two young girls, not the mother, but the older sisters, Brachshon both married, and It was hard to leave their parents, and if everything we've said and done, I was pretty much the only one who wanted to make Aliyah, including my wife, because of emotional reasons. It was hard. She just, you know, felt the human state of the family, maybe it's for stronger than the four different reasons. So it came, Parshas Lech Lecha, 1992, Vayikach, Abraham, Sarai, Esau, Kedachim, Esau, Kedachim, Esau, Kedachim, Esau, Kedachim, Esau, Kedachim, Esau, I read that pasuk to myself every night during Grishma to myself. So no one's going to stop me. And you have a Aretz, and you have a Aretz, and you have a Aretz. If Aaron could do it, I could do it. And why was I able to do that? Because of Ram Tal Sikha. Part of the courage you gave me, partially because if Aaron could do it, then I could do it. What do you mean if Aaron could do it? He's Avraham. You're nothing. You're an idiot. You're a moron. No, but that's not the story the Torah wants you to read. Asipur Shal HaTorah, this is the call of Aviation, he's done with his other Kodesh Baruch Hu Korei Lo Vishnah Kriya, Ru Machlit, Kein Lanot Alo Lanot, and that's why the Torah Mastir, the call of Rekesh Shal Avram, Kish is a no Sipur Shal Avram HaTzadik, Avram HaGadol, the Sipur Shal Avram HaKatan, Shal Moshe HaKatan, Shal Kol HaKad HaKatan, Shal Yishlo Ta Bechira, O Lekach Et Tazmana, O Lazoga, Nisarev Lazmana Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is something which Rami Tal told us so many times. I thought, for many years it was a Maharal, the Mion Shalom is a Hamaral on Avraham. I couldn't find it in any of the writings of Rami Tal or the speeches that he gave. I just showed you the Sfas Emes, verse number 7. Sfas Emes, Rabba Hiksha Shememba Lech Lecha Belishin Nizkar Mikol Luchibato Uvizar HaKadosh Nira, verse 7. Kizeh Atzimah Shevach. That's the praise of Avraham. Sheshama Zamamra Lech Lecha Shememba Mehashem Yisbarach Lechol HaNashim. Hashem didn't tell Avram Lech Lecha. Hashem tells every man Lech Lecha. Everyone has that invitation. Tamid. The Avram Avinu Alav HaShalom, line number 3, is Avram Shema V'Kibhel. Avram was the only person that actually acceded and agreed. And the man let me grab Rakatibur I love. So that's why the Torah is portraying that Hashem's calling him. Hashem calls everyone. Gila lo mincan yuchad nishmor raku. Abu vaday zeh shevach yazmo. This is the praise of Avram. He is not the only one to hear it, whether in his generation or in other generations, but he's the one who rises to the challenge. So our return to Israel isn't necessarily based on any past performance or past deservedness. Whether it's Avram, whether it's me, whether it's on Israel, our relationship to Israel is set in the beginning. It's not a warrant based on performance, it's just an open-ended invitation. It isn't preconditional on any accomplishments. The Maharal says the opposite. Now, the Maharal, you can't just read a Maharal. You have to understand, Maharal's writing in the 16th century. He takes Kabbalah, and he turns it into a system that people can understand. Numbers, and categories, and 4 represents this, and 5 represents this, and 7 represents this, and everything represents somebody else. So when you see something, it's always a hieroglyph, or a symbol for somebody else. It's a system. But in our day, Maharal wasn't written for the 21st century. It's a very different writing, unless you walk back into his world and appreciate the concepts behind what he's saying. So for the Maharal, there are 2 types of choices. There's a personal choice and there's a collective choice. Let's leave the Maharal together. Maharal Slecha, Ki lo ya tchala tadveikut mitzad aprat. Hashem didn't choose Avram. Rak hadveikut has advegut kali, lo dveikut prati. Source number 8. If we had seen Avram's accomplishments, then we would say, oh, Hashem is choosing Avram because of his accomplishments. What happens when we fail to live up to Avram's standard? Afterwards. As Hashem lo bocher Avram, Hashem bocher Am Yisrael, Derech Adam Stam Ronimi Shenikra Avram Avinu. Whereas the Bechira Shem Am Yisrael, He Bechira Mitzrit, Lo Kshura Le Hidnagut Shem Am Yisrael.
The first one was the
Lech
Lecha,
so it's the same Shem Am Yisrael. Mi Shishama, Im Arishon Shishama Et Lech Lecha, Maharal medaber al ha-totzah shel ha-tzeh. Totzah zol, the totzah nitzchik. It's not kashur for any accomplishments or any metrics or yardsticks. So we'll read it together. Lekach kasher bachar Hashem yitbarach v'tchila me'avram v'tzeh v'yakastim v'tev lo ta'aretz v'hikshah Ramban, line number 4, source 8. Shetemu shelo zachar katuf kodim zashay Avram tzadik v'lachay nidlo ala mashtina. Okay? Lekach ayaroi lichtov Kodem Sitkat Avram. 3 lines in the bottom. Why doesn't the Torah tell us about Avram Sitkut? Avon Lefiyat, Burim, 2nd paragraph of Shaman Lecha, Lo Yikshet Klal. Kisal Noach, Lo Yarak Bechira Pratin. Now Bechira Pratin, Kuvim Mashahu, Vakolu Lefi Maset Sitkut. If Noach said Sadek, he's chosen. If he's not a Sadek, he's not Imoto. He's not Meifim Oto. Avon Be Avram, Lo Yarak Bechira Pratit. Rak Bumai Sonit Shehim Zarao. ועשה כל דבר גדול, זו בחירה כללית, בחירה כמו זאת, אין תולה במעשה כלל. להיות לא dependent on your behavior. ולא בחיית. עוד הלילה אורי, הבולדת, שבחירה פרטית תלותי המקבל, ואם נשתנה המקבל, נשתנה הדבר. If I choose you, and you betray me, אז ה-choice בטל, בחירה בטלה. ולכן, יקירת השלילה שלו הזכיר הכתוב צדקת אברהם קודם שנגלה השלילה, יגר נשבר כבר לא בחר באברהם, הוא בחר בעם ישראל, וזרעו דרך בחירה באברהם אביו. So, Rabbi tells points to us where if you come to Eretz Yisrael, you don't know what's pulling you to Eretz Yisrael, just like Avram didn't know who's being taken from where it's been. And second of all, that you're chosen not because you deserve it, or because your behavior afterwards will justify it, but you're chosen because Hashem chooses you as part of a larger saga of people being chosen and a nation being chosen in Eretz Yisrael. And then a very compelling sicha, because all of a sudden, now we had the same challenge of Avram. Wasn't Avram Avinu b'shamayim b'nekatan ba'aretz v'nikorel ha'malach hazer shenek Avram Avinu shenifar ze kol achad nifar v'abchirah me'ever l'chayim shalach. It doesn't make a difference whether you live up to the standards of living in Eretz Yisrael. You are a perfect person to come to Eretz Yisrael. Yishbar v'pocher v'kol achad seret ma'anot b'pocher. I'm just going to look at the Torah. Since you know. Yes, I'm sorry.
No,
it's probably the guys to live this experience very deeply, and to live, and then if it ends up in Aliyah, for some people, depending on the factors in the life that prevent Aliyah, some people don't, but it's only to be part of this historical return, historical process. What's interesting in our hearts, it never forced us to make Aliyah, but there's a difference to live in TMAC and realize you don't belong there, but you have a parent that needs your help, your profession, you feel you can be more effective, whatever your story is, but you live with a sense that this is not home, this is not, I belong somewhere else, and just to be, remember he has such charisma. Remember, we never saw him during the year. We came here once a year, below your email and below your Skype. We saw him once a year when we went back to America. We were coming for the dinner around Pesach time. Yeshiva said dinner, and the other day is Sufim. And he would come in, and all the Talmidim would come to the dinner. And he would get up and speak. And Rav Chaim would speak for 2 hours, Allah, Tarata has there, the Tarata has there, Vasir. He was highfalutin, sophisticated speech, and everyone would be come to the dinner, falling asleep into their lettuce as their minds going on about Plato and Aristotle, looking whitehead and Rosalinda. We're at a dinner, we're hungry. And then Ramadan would get up to speak, and he would get up in these little clock conversation that would prepare him to love the garden late. So someone in the office would lie out a speech for him. And he'd say, I am very happy to be here at dinner with my friends. It is so fortunate to come to be together. Then he'd say, and now I want to address my Talmidim in Hebrew. And then he'd start saying, Talmidim Shene, Ket by Shulachan. אנחנו בארץ, אנחנו בורים את העתיד, אנחנו נרקים, עולם ישראל, אתם נשארים פה, תתפיישו לכם. And we'd sit there like this. מחשיב את חום, כן, כן, אנחנו מתפיישים, תתפיישו לכם.
Wait, where was this?
In some fancy hotel in New York City. And when
we should
have
dinner.
The banquet, when we're back in college. So we came as alumni, we should have tetpaishu lachem. And then he finished 20 minutes. Shut up. Let's go dance. And we ran out. 2 seconds, he was saying, and 2 seconds later, we're dancing. So imagine. It was never, and never if you don't make Aliyah in your office. It was, and you're living in Chutz Laaretz, and that's where your center of reality is, in your home, and peace with you, then you touch it. And if they're living in America, they're living in America, they're living in America, so the reality is a bunch sometimes that they will care all the time. Anyway, I think the burial is over. We'll also talk with us about the contrast between Noah, between Avraham Avinu, different types of leaders and different types of mission. The Medrash says that Noah davened Hashem from the table. So what's his davening? It's a beautiful You see how all these midrashim come to life in the Ramatas, basically. It's like the pancakes, then you learn to make them into seven other things. So what's that? You blow up. Because they have such context, and such meaning, and such resonance. They have a way of taking these simple texts, and in a way that Ravaran did it. Ravaran is very interesting. He didn't inflate texts. He carved them. Ravaran would take one pasuk and carve it, and carve it, and carve it. Okay, this word means this, and this word means this. What's the combination of two words? And this letter means this. He would take one pasuk and think about it for 3 hours. That was his level of precision. Carve and carve and carve and carve and carve and turn it on its hinges and read it this way, read it that way, read it this way, read it so okay, these 2 words and those 2 words are flipping. Rather than just take a medrash, it seems so flat. And like sometimes when I prepare these shiurim, what am I going to quote? Because it just took them, and by stitching them together, all of a sudden it blew up in your face and had such meaning. And then if I just write down every pasuk that he quoted, all of a sudden I realize, oh, he had 24 sources. Because to my mind, none of them seem so compelling, but I want to hear an Amitel saying them. Each pasuk is, wow, he said that from that pasuk. He said that from that medrash. He said, like, he gave you a whole different way to read the brush. Something came alive, and Russian came alive, and they're part of history, and every pasuk of Tanakh has a meaning, it's in the future, and these simple little things that we say every day, and then all of a sudden an Amitel said them. They were simple ideas, and the force of his character breathed such life into them in a way that Ravaran was the opposite. It was just like, them into pieces, and the analytics were so sharp and so penetrating that those pieces were so powerful. So the Ramatal would quote this passage, which it's a nice medrash, source number 13. Hashem tells Noach to leave the tape, let's say minute, was there Shemar Pasif, Hotziami Maskir Nafshi. The Pasik can tell him, Hashem, take me out of my prison. Hotziami Maskir Nafshi. And it makes sense that Noach is in prison for a year and wants to be released, so Hashem finally releases him. I'll take you out of your prison, which you were incarcerated in for upwards of a year. But in the Zohar, I don't know if I would quote Zohar's class also. Again, he was quote Kabbalah extensively, but like you got watered down Zohar. There were pieces of Zohar that could be quoted without the entire body of knowledge of Zohar. And essentially, Noah, when he leaves the Kiva, complains to Hashem very Yoda-like about all the destruction that he sees. How can so many people be killed, and how can so many people die, and how can there be such devastation? And Hashem turns to Noach and says, I gave you 120 years, and you didn't even bother to daven for one person. Don't look at me, look at yourself. And in the Zohar, there's a very, very sharp contrast between Noach, who's the insular tzaddik, the tzaddik ha-bodeh, and the tzaddik, Rabbi Avram, she-megiron, and I don't remember what he said, but this pasuk really captures that. Listen to the pasuk now that I told you that. Hotziami maskir nafshi. Nav mistager lo bativa. Nav mistager. Let's look. Hear that? Hotziami maskir nafshi. The way we read it, Hotziami Maskir Nafshi, take me out of this prison. Hotziami Maskir Nafshi, take me out of the prison of myself. I'm Sagur Bat Smith. I'm a tzaddik, but I could care less, or I have a hard time davening or saving or rescuing anyone else. And Hashem says, okay, I'll take you out of Maskir Nafshi, but look at the world, you have to rebuild because you didn't bother saving anyone else. You need to be alone in this world for yourself, the goodness of Zeshu Levat, and Mark Harasel, so I'm going to drink. So he talked to us about the difference between the tzaddik who Avram was and the type of tzaddik who Noach was. And davening for people, you have to identify with them. When people davening on Facebook today, say Tehillim 4, say Tehillim 4, say Tehillim 4, Tehillimus, they're good. I think it's powerful. But it's certainly not as powerful as when you're davening for someone that you identify with, that you know, that you feel for, that you can sympathize over because you think about that person when you doubt and you have that person's face in your mind when you say Refrainer and then you say that person's name. And how do you identify with the Russia? If you can't identify with the Russia, how can you doubt him for the Russia? You understand you should better save all the world. If you really identify with someone, you're not going to have a hard time identifying with people for what it is accomplished as he was. And it failed to maximize all the potential Hashem had given him. Rabbi Tal would tell us about the Pasuk in source number 14. when the mabul strikes and erupts, arubot hashamayim niftachu. The windows of shamayim niftachu. The very strange pasuk, arubot hashamayim niftachu. But Zohar, arubot hashamayim niftachu, is not just describing the water flashing onto the world, but also pre the mabul, the door of mabul had been zocher to a exposure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or to Chochmah that can only come from Shemayim. Baruch Hashemayim niftachu lahem lefnei ha-mabul u'mechivan shelo zachu ve'lo nitzlu oto l'tov as Baruch Hashemayim niftachu alehem yalamayim. And the Midrash Omer b'mispar Chamesh Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, mi garem lehem shel medubi, what caused the door of mabul to rebel against Hashem? Al shem zorin ve'lo kotzrin, because they planted and they became too satisfied with themselves. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, achas lemem shana hayu zarin. The Dor HaMabul, he used to plant once in 40 years, and that provided enough food for 40 years. That's how supernatural their world was. That's how technologically advanced they were. That's how powerful they were. They were planting that food would last for 40 years. U'mahalchin misalfo alam b'yad sefo l'shakala. They were so strong, large, fast, whatever. They could walk from one end of the earth the other end of the earth in an hour. Umakrishim arzei levanon balichatan. They could pull up big trees like toothpicks while they were walking. V'hayu arayot u'nimerim chashuvim be'enehem kinima b'bsara. When they saw lions and they saw tigers, they looked like a little piece of skin. They just flipped them away with their wrists. So this was a generation that had been privileged to arvot v'shalayim yuftachu, the chachma, big gura, big yada, but instead of appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chutz, they defied themselves and they fell into more corruption. And Malchus was so angry at this corruption and this prostitution, the potential, that he could identify with them. If you can't identify with someone, you can't pray for that person. So I'll just end with the famous story that Rav Mital told the students probably after Kanan Parat, Allah Shalom convinced him to be the Rosh Yeshiva, so now all the Talmudim gathered and they had to decide whether to go to this new yeshiva, which is not easy. And they asked Rav Amital, why should we go to your yeshiva, the seminary yeshiva? Do you know the story? Well, I'm sure you know the story of the baby, right? The crying baby? That story you know. And now you can see it on YouTube. It's set on YouTube on Chazak. But the story that didn't make it into YouTube is... I don't know the story. Doesn't even enough Krish legacy. Yeah. Okay, so the original Lubavitcher Rebbe and Tzemach Tzedek, his grandson, are traveling through Europe. Support from Zamzal, support. And they stop over in the town. And the train's leaving the next day, so they take two rooms in a suite, in Iraq. And Lubavitcher Rebbe goes and sits in the inner room. And his grandson, who's still young, sits in the middle room, and they start learning. In the outer room, a woman stays there with her baby. It's another woman, no one they knew. Just you rented that room. So the inner room is about Jerry, the middle room is about Sadaka. The outer room, a woman with her baby. The woman puts the baby to sleep and goes out of the room to take care of something, and the baby starts crying. And Mitzvah Tzedek, who's young, continues learning. And the older grandfather, about Jerry, goes to quiet the baby and calm the baby down. And he passes by his grandson, who's still enraptured and he's learning and doesn't hear the cry of the baby. On his way back, he tells his grandson, if your learning makes you deaf to the cry of the baby, I can't finish the sentence because I once quoted that pasuk, that story in a journal that I was editing for the Yeshiva of Tara, and I went to Rav Aaron for the final review, and I wrote in there, if your learning makes you deaf to the cry of the baby, then your learning is insignificant or whatever, and Rav Aaron just wouldn't allow that word to be written. Of course it is. It's not the highest form of learning. It's like it took me and Rahar an hour to find the right word in English. Because Rahar wouldn't let that story be told in a way that would suggest that Tara, without hearing the cry of the baby, is meaningless. Of course it is. And Rahar would never say that. He meant to say it's not the Tara we're struggling for. It's not the Torah ideal of Einenu. I don't know, I have to look, it's 1995, and I've just been hired by the Yeshiva to run a program for young Rabban. So we put out a book called Alei Etzion. You've seen Alei Etzion, about 15 volumes of English articles, I was the editor of stuff. Look at Alayas Yom Volume 1 from 1995. You'll find more values. I remember being in Ravarin's office trying to hammer out what that word is, final word. But that's the story everyone knows, and the point is, who's the baby? I'm Yisrael, the baby's crying. We have to know how to close the Sefer to go here, to cry the baby and serve in the army and the Chalik Nagmina. But the story that didn't make the YouTube, it's a beautiful YouTube video. Who's the Facebook junkie?
Who's Facebook?
Facebook me tonight, Moshe Farragut, I'll send you a clip and it's better. Okay. So I'm sending you, you see where you find Moshe Farragut? Remind me, and a beautiful, beautiful video, professionally done. But the story that they didn't make a YouTube video about, or Amital told the story of a chassid in Europe who was caught stealing, and they throw him into jail. So they call the Rebbe. Like, you heard the story already? Did I tell you the story?
No, we might have run in chassidut, and I want chassidut, but like, I don't know
what okay, the same thing is. It's a pretty famous chassidut story, but again, Amital adapts it to the Jew. They call the Rebbe comes in, calms the chassid down, don't worry, I'll take care of you. 2 months later, the same chassid gets caught again, gets tossed into jail. Call the Rebbe comes in. Don't worry, you always have chronic problems. I also have chronic problems. Calms him down, takes him out. Oh, shalom, shalom, shalom. Tell chassid, you pass. Sakina Kamakela, or in the Rebbe, the Rebbe Nachman, in the Nichnas. Don't worry, takato mani, agamini. Let's see, okay. At a certain point, the Rebbe dies. So, Haben, the mother will come up. Haben, shalom. Haben, come up, Haben, tell chassid, you pass, pan, revit. There's a kino, tell the kela. Says they call the Rebbe. The Rebbe's dead. Okay, call the son. Son comes in. So Eichelav, Lama Tagone. This is how you repay my father. You embarrass me. You embarrass my father. He was there for you. This is how you show me gratitude. Tisha Erbakela, Yom Yomayin Baza Yatzilcha. So the Chassid begins to cry. He says, "You don't understand." He says, "I'm a Rasha. I'm not a tzaddik. I'm a ganav. I'm not a tzaddik." Says, you're a Rebbe for Tzaddikim. It's easy to be a Rebbe for Tzaddikim. Aval ani lo tzaddik, ani rasha, ani zakut lo Rebbe l'shul v'shoyim. Ani lo tzaddik, ani rasha. It's easy to be, you see, your father, who are your Rebbe l'shul v'shoyim? Ani zakut lo abba shulcha. So Rav Amital told those students, Shishim v'sheva, there are plenty of yeshiva for Tzaddikim. I'm going to open a yeshiva for Rishayim. Ani lo tzay yeshiva avor Rishayim. Now, what he's really saying is, and it's a very, very hard thing to pull off, Ha'etel she'yeshiva ha'aretzion, u'be'etzen, yeshiva, be'er gadol, big well, u'kol ha'chabav l'gad Mashiach ha'lachach. Kishatipos ha'klasi shal yeshivot haya, avor ha'shtakim, avor ha'chazakim. Let's build yeshivas for the strong tamidim shal, v'yasev yachad, v'litchazek. V'ra'etel patach et ha'yeshiva. And today there are hundreds of those types of yeshiva. Yeshiva, the chiloniim, and yeshiva Aratzion, like the model Rishon. And what made yeshiva Aratzion so powerful and so challenging all these years was that it had both, because Rav Aaron really was yeshiva Tzedekim. And people sure of looking since I'm Tzedekim, Lava, we have Matni Din, Leota Dor, Bava, we have Moshe, what is it going, Yassi, what is it? And Rav Amital was wanting a second yeshiva. And those three yeshivas got along great. But it really were always three yeshivas. There was a yeshiva shal tzaddikim, and then there was a yeshiva shabbal 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 Noach was the anti-Rav Amital. So Noach lo ya mochad mitpalel avor Rishayim ki lo biglal shu haya achzari shu lo pulel. No, he kasher mitpalel ki yidek pulel tzah amiti tzichim izdahot. You have to identify. If you don't identify, you can't daven. And you just couldn't identify with Rishayim for obvious reasons. It's hard to identify with Rishayim. And there's Rav Amital trying to help us identify with Rishayim. He never made us feel contempt and debasement. And this is Rishayim. It's lo b'tam l'pach. And it's lo b'tam. He said it's not responsibility. In a way, there are things also around. Also, there are kintel, but it's different. The Rav Amital is very personal. The Rav Amital is very ideological. The Rav Amital is very much. If any of you really want to along with the shiurim I'm giving, really want to get a good sense of it on the phone. The two books that I recommend are as follows. Number one, read his biography, Benjamin Netel. Everyone I've told about that book is done. I've never recommended that book to anyone who hasn't read it. The guy who's written down my book, Sefer Review. Another Sefer, if you want, it's a purple Sefer. It's called the Avdecha B'Emes. And it has about, I would say, close to 40 statements. Not long statements, but they ask all the Talmidim and all the Rabbanim and all the people associated with Yeshiva to write three pages, like, what's your... And it's like a kaleidoscope, because he was such a colorful person. Everyone took their... He loved art, so a Chiloni friend of his, Jaya Uman, talked about Rav Amital and art. He walked into his house and made paintings in the wall. Artists would give Rav Amital their paintings for a few months just to get his email. So he'd give him art and put it in his house. And so all of a sudden you have some artists that we never met who wrote a whole piece about Rav Amital and art. People from his community wrote, his children wrote, and just got some of the different sides of this person. Not in terms of, it's not a heavy book of Torah, not like the words run with, I mean, that's a beggar's pasuk, whatever. But when I get this whole picture, you read that book, you get a sense of it's hard to imagine you're talking about one person, because everyone's seeing it from different angles, and that's the true measure of a great person, that they're so broad, and one person can't contain the total suit of that person, and it's easy to take what they can get for that person. If they're bigger, then it's kind of easy to get them. So, I'm going to say more continue, and I'm going to say, Shavua. But this was the time of the year which Rav Amital spoke to us so much about mission and purpose, and really infused us with that sense that we have to change the world. So one of the things I told the boys last night, I don't want to get into it at length, but I said, I'm not going to talk to you about the politics of America, I'm about Trump, and A, because I don't want to, be more important things to talk about, B, because it's not my place, and people listen to the shiur, and I record all my shiur in English, and it comes across as condescending and judgmental. Now, I mean, I learned shiur from America, I learned shiur from America, I learned shiur from the liturgy of the Sarem. And so I just want to tell you one thing, okay? No one thought this person could win the presidency. And if Hillary Clinton won the presidency, it's totally apolitical. I'm just describing it as a rabbi, not as a vulgar politician. Basically, if Hillary Clinton became president, we've been basically retaining the old order, the markets, the world, diplomacy, America, Europe. Everything that was would continue to be more or less. And we changed in Berlin, we're the next president, we're changing in Berlin. All of a sudden, overnight, everything we know changed. And knowing the world knows whether America will be their friend or their foe, and the markets, and whether there'll be a wall, not a wall, everything is going towards a wall. Your lesson at the age of 18, now I'm telling you your lesson at the age of 18, when you're young, you really think the world is fixed, and who am I? I'm a small person, and how am I going to change the world? And the world is so rigid, and all these institutions. And it takes an event like this to remind you, I know this already, but it takes an event like this to remind you, they're more brittle than you see. And whatever conventions and institutions and setups and arrangements and legal and world order, whatever people do or don't build, they can come crashing down overnight, unexpectedly. And therefore, if you think you can change the world, and you can, it doesn't have to do all of a sudden becoming the next president. You can change the world just by operating within our society, within our community. Don't be intimidated by the fact that the world seems so fixed. Because it really isn't as fixed in Kabul as it was. I remember about 7 years ago after the tsunami in Japan, a radio station, I don't know where, they got hold of me, they wanted to interview me about the rabbi's response to the tsunami. So I gave whatever sympathy and notification, that's really the primary response. And in the end of my statements, I said, but now let me speak as a rabbi, not as a human being. I said, it was very powerful to look at the satellite pictures of these islands before and after. Before the tsunami, you saw buildings and cars and power lines and homes and fences and roads. And then after the tsunami, it was all jungle. It was all shade. Straight off. And how long did that tsunami take? 8 seconds, 10 seconds. And it just reminds us that whatever we see as our reality is an illusion. And we live in that illusion, we don't tear it asunder, we don't flee from it, but it's an illusion. And it can take 10 seconds, and the world could be totally different, and less. So don't get too comfortable into this world and assume, oh, the way things are is the way they have to be, and I can only make small changes. You never know how the world will change, and if it can change upon something that's stupid and ridiculously vulgar, or Donald Trump or whatever, then real people with real moral energy and real statements and real life, when it's said to that boys, these need more power on. You will have more of a difference in this world if you live your life correctly. And Donald Trump, not if you become the next great film device. If you just, I'm not saying negative if you don't take this choice, but let's say you get married, move to Israel, raise a family of film device, six children, B'nai Torah, B'nai Torah, they have children, they live in Israel. If you do the math, you do the multiples, the 5x, for 100 years, there are 4,000 of your descendants living in Israel, changing history. And you don't have to do anything spectacular or outrageous or history changing. You don't have to put yourself on a coin. You have to, if you want to put yourself on a coin, also that's fine. But it doesn't have to be all. And just because I shared this with you personally, that's what I told myself when I made Aliyah. I didn't have to wait until 2016 for Trump to get elected. When I made Aliyah, I basically was taking all these job offers in America and tossing them in the can. And all these offers, people were looking at me like I was crazy. Really, because I wasn't coming here to be a Rebbe in Bush, I was coming to be a car guy, and I had a job offer at zero. And I looked myself in the mirror, really, and I said, you have to be prepared that if you go to Israel, raise your family, have a healthy, Baruch Hashem, beautiful marriage, and raise your children the way you want to raise them, and you live a life of Torah, and you have to be satisfied going to your grave as you led a heroic life and you serve your country well. And everything else, will come second. All the titles, all the accomplishments, all the rab this and rab that and rab here, you have to be prepared that if you can just hone in on what you can control more or less, and control anything that you can control more or less, then okay. And that's the message more or less I gave the boys yesterday. Don't be intimidated if anything, be empowered. But the world of November 11 is a totally different world than it was November 8th, obviously. And now, who are the real people that are going to change the world? The ideas, whatever. We'll see. Okay? Let's stop here. Everyone, please make sure you're there for Noah. And wish her well. I want to do my time. And send me the Facebook. I'll send you. Okay? Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. What are you bringing back for us? Let's see, Carlos and Gabby.
It's so gross. People keep asking me to bring back food, but it's still gonna get gross. It's gonna get in my bag on there. It's so good.
When's
I want
the
chickies.
It used to be on all, there's no food in Israel, but here it's just, you miss your food, you miss your chickens. And every time I schlep out donuts for my wife, these donuts are they're soaked in oil and butter. And it's just a lot of butter off an English cat. Well, I do recommend to them. Every once in a while, the only time I get Tupperwares and I bring back Dunkin' Donuts, I can. Because you don't lock them in and they're all
kind of
gross.
Yeah.
Hello, my uncle.
Philip?
Yeah.
Philip Holmes.
Burns?
Oh, yeah, sure.
He told me to listen to
all the time. How's your uncle?
My dad's sister's husband.
Sister's husband?
Yeah. Thank you.
You ever go visit him in Chicago?
What?
You ever go visit him in Chicago?
What'd you say?
Do you ever go visit him in Chicago?
Do I visit him? What do you mean? Like, am I going to...